Baseball PhD podcast segment to remember, 2010.
This interview comes from episode 21, San Diego Padres.
Ed gets wisdom from James D. Smith III as he learns about the Padres and the importance of having a hobby.
A great baseball PhD to Jim Smith in San Diego. Welcome.
Thanks so much, Ed. It's good to be on the line with you.
You know, I was just in San Diego, and I did a bad Midwest mistake. I packed shorts, polo shirts, no windbreaker. I go to beautiful Petco Park. I thought I was either in San Francisco in October or Cleveland in November. What's going on? Talk to me about what the desert air and the ocean air do when they hit each other over San Diego.
Sure. Well, that's our famous May gray or June gloom out here in San Diego. The weather's still pleasant overall, but when that hot air from the desert comes up over the mountains, you know, 6,000 feet, comes up, sweeps over, and hits the marine layer, we get a thick cloud cover at various days, you know, in May and June. Surprises people who are visiting, who know us for the temperatures and the climate overall, but haven't factored in that kind of marine layer, a little May gray June gloom. So bring your windbreaker during those months.
And July, August, that's normal?
July right now, we're chatting, and it clears up because it kind of hits more of an equilibrium. And so right now it is sunny and beautiful and upper 70s and good day for a ball game.
Now, you research baseball. You're a pastor. You do many things. But let's go to the very beginning. I think your wife had an influence, just like my wife has an influence over me. How were you influenced to start to research baseball?
Well, my wife Linda and I were married in 1972. We're coming up on our anniversary here, 4th of July. And we'd been married some years. We grew up in San Diego, but we were living in Boston and was pastoring a church, doing a doctoral work at Harvard, and raising our three kids and so forth. And she said to me, "You need a hobby." And I thought to myself, "I don't think so." But I said to her, "Tell me why." She said, "You know, I love you, and I want to be married to you till you're an old man, but I don't want you to be a boring old man. And so I want you to have an interest outside of these things and even outside of us." So I thought about it, prayed about it a little bit, and I thought, you know, I'm going to put together the game that I've loved since I was a kid, baseball, with my historical training and just start looking into baseball history. And happily that combined with membership in Sabre, where I've been a member since 1982. And it was Cliff Kaklein, who just passed on, former historian of the Hall of Fame, Cliff Kaklein, who drew me in, a brilliant, knowledgeable baseball man and a very nice human being. So,
and we all know Sabre is the Society for American Baseball Research.
That's right.
I'm also a member, and ironically, it's in Cleveland, Ohio. I didn't know that the Sabre Mecca was in Cleveland. I would have thought it would be like in San Diego or L.A. or whatever. So,
well, years ago it was Cooperstown, but Cleveland became a very, very good location for several reasons, and so some years after its founding, Cleveland became home base.
Right. They never have to close the office because we never have ticker tape parades in Cleveland. That's why, okay, that more productivity. But anyway, so you took the advice of your wife, you developed a hobby, or you loved baseball, and you said, "All right, I'll dedicate it to baseball, and it's easy. My wife has given me permission. She's not going to yell at me now because I'm going to start to research baseball." And I'm sure you would recommend all healthy men should look in the mirror and go, "Do I have a constructive hobby that will make my life more interesting and maybe even give my wife some quiet time?"
Oh, I would recommend that for all healthy men, any healthy, well-rounded human being.
Exactly.
Man or woman should have some kind of a diversion, a place of release, of exploration, that's not primarily going to be graded or discontinued, or you're going to rise and fall on that. Just fun.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about something that's fun. We're going to talk about the wonderful San Diego Padres, and let's talk about history and all that. And before we conclude our conversation, all of our listeners have to know, hey, the greatest hitter, or maybe the second greatest hitter of all time, came from San Diego, and that man was...
Ted Williams.
Ted Williams from San Diego. So let's start with the Padres. I believe that the San Diego Padres, they were a team even before they were a major league team. Is that correct?
That's right. The Padres were members of the Pacific Coast League from the year 1936 up until 1968, the year before National League expansion came its way.
And the Pacific Coast League, I take it, teams what, California, maybe Oregon?
Oregon, California, Washington, but the Coast League, even back in the 20s and 30s, at times reached eastward towards Salt Lake City and so forth. In fact, the team that became the Padres began in Salt Lake City under the ownership of an old man named Bill Lane, a former miner. And then he moved them to Hollywood, and when the rent on L.A.'s Wrigley Field got too high, he looked southward and brought them to San Diego in 1936. Bill Lane.
Now, let's just do the cliff notes of the Pacific Coast League. San Diego Padres, were they dominant? Were they like the New York Yankees, or were they just a good team like the Minnesota Twins and had some success and some not success during their Pacific Coast League tenure?
Well, Padres, for the early years, they were certainly competitive in 36. They won the playoffs, and so were Pacific Coast League champions in 37 with Ted Williams playing. There's some other great ones. Bobby Doerr had played here in 1936 before going on. And so those early years, they were strong teams. And then for a while, it was a struggle to compete. Even then, larger and small markets played their role. And so the L.A. teams in the 30s were very strong. The original L.A. Angels, old Pacific Coast League name, and others as well, San Francisco Seals. So a good team. And then we got strong again late 40s with Luke Easter. Johnny Ritchie actually broke the color barrier in the Pacific Coast League as a catcher, local guy for the Padres in 48. And so he, Luke Easter, we became a Cleveland farm team. Max West, Jack Graham, Minnie Minoso, strong teams in the early 50s, and we won a pennant in 54.
Okay.
And played at Old Lane Field before the termites ate it up down at the foot of Broadway on the waterfront. Played there through 57 and then moved to a little ballpark out in the Mission Valley area called Westgate Park.
You just painted a word picture for me that I'll always remember now. Ted Williams once was a San Diego Padre.
That's right. And he wore number 19.
Okay.
Yeah, much like Tony Gwynn would years later. So our two great San Diego hitters, you know, Ted Williams in the Coast League, number 19. And then Tony Gwynn many years later, 19.
Well, let's talk about the Padres finally make it to the major leagues, 1969. They came into the league with what other team?
They came in, I think, with Montreal.
Okay. So
Did they not?
I'm not 100% sure. A baseball PhD should know that, but I'm not 100% sure. So they come in 1969. That had to be a monumental feeling for the city of San Diego to finally be a major league baseball city.
It was a great feeling. The Chargers had moved here in the early 60s and played in the old Civic Stadium, Balboa Stadium downtown, and some great teams down there. Sid Gilman as coach, and Allworth, and other great players, Ron Mix, Hall of Famers. So already San Diego had a taste of it, but with expansion in 69, they had built a multi-purpose stadium here in Mission Valley in the late 60s. In fact, the Coast League Padres played their 1968 season in this multi-purpose big donut, cement donut, but with a view of the mountains out to the east. It was a very pretty place in many ways. But, you know, San Diego was still kind of trying to figure out what it was. It was not a stepchild of Los Angeles, and I think the first major league game here only drew, 20-some thousand. And so people were trying to figure out how it worked, and the team was fun to watch, but also struggled, and it was really Ray Kroc who several years later would rescue it from being moved to Washington, D.C.
Right. In fact, what I understood, I took the tour at Petco Park last week, and they were like hours away from deciding to move the franchise, and Kroc shows up and says, hey, here's my money. I want to keep the team in San Diego. And he saved the day. I mean, he's probably the most influential guy on why there's still Major League Baseball in San Diego.
I think that's true without a doubt. You know, those who are card collectors out there may realize that there's a Willie McCovey card that doesn't have San Diego or Padres on it, but it has National League. Which means that the card printers weren't sure which way this whole thing was going to go. But they stayed in San Diego, and just we're so grateful they did.
Right. Now, let's talk about Petco Park. Petco Park opened earlier this decade. What are your thoughts on Petco Park?
Well, it's a beautiful ballpark. You know, as a San Diego kid growing up here and familiar with that part of the downtown area, really, Petco Park, which developed in the late 90s, they developed a concept, and then actually Ted Williams was able to be at the groundbreaking. He was not doing well at the time, but believed in this, and so that was very, very special. But Petco Park utilizes some very good space in San Diego. It's near the waterfront. It's near the convention center. And they built it up against the old Western Metal building.
Right.
An imposing brick building, which is located in the left field corner. They built around that and took advantage of some of the natural contours of downtown. Beautiful spot.
No, I agree. Now, the only thing, and maybe since you're from San Diego, you didn't notice it, as I'm driving to the stadium, I'm looking and I can't see a stadium. The facade of your stadium looks like it's a sexy office building made of stone. And then you look at the roof and you go, oh, they got lights on the roof. This has to be the park.
That's right. Yeah. And that, of course, is by design. There was a desire for it to fit into the contour of downtown, the architecture. Actually, probably the prettiest view of Petco Park is from the Coronado, San Diego to Coronado Bridge.
Right.
If you look back over and you get a lovely view at elevation of downtown and Petco Park in the foreground and so forth.
No, I mean, they did a wonderful job. If they thought Al-Qaeda wanted to find the stadium, unless you have a good taxi cab driver who finally says, okay, it's right there. The poor guy from Al-Qaeda is like, I cannot find the stadium. Abort the mission. We'll go to L.A. instead. So
yeah, we're happy about that.
Now
we like that identity.
Let's live in the present right now. Mm-hmm. The first place San Diego Padres.
Yes.
Doesn't happen all the time, but you guys are holding nice and steady. Why? What's happening that's good on the Padres right now?
Well, we'll take it. We're grateful for this positioning, and you know, whether you're a pessimist or an optimist, the real situation is the Padres are in first place. They've had wonderful pitching. Whatever else the management has done of the Padres in recent years, they've tried to be attentive to pitching. And they've built a really, really solid staff from really top to bottom. The second thing is that the combination, for example, of Adrian Gonzalez, first base, wonderful hitter, fine glove, and a nice human being, local guy from the South Bay area here, David Eckstein next to him,
right,
just this sturdy veteran who's scrapper, who knows how to win. That combination with some of the youngsters has been significant. They have really good chemistry on this team. They just have a team that enjoys being together, enjoys taking the field, and not a lot of dissension at all. So it's much appreciated.
They're playing like a team now. San Diego has never won the World Series. How many appearances have they made in the World Series?
We were there in 84 and again in 98. We were in Minnesota, living in Minnesota in 84, so we couldn't come, but we were there for the series in 98. And, you know, even though we lost it to the Yankees, it's just wonderful being. There's nothing like that as a showcase.
Oh, I know. I live in Cleveland. I've seen twice where they invite us to the dance and then slap us at the end of the series. So baseball is a lovely hobby. I'm thankful to meet folks like you. Next time I'm in San Diego, Jim Smith, I will look you up. But do one thing for me this weekend. Hug your wife and say thank you for your words of wisdom.
Ed, that's a pleasure, and especially since our anniversary is 4th of July, an extra hug is coming her
give
way.
Give her a double hug and throw a bottle rocket down the cul-de-sac and spook her when it blows up. But Jim Smith, I wish I lived in San Diego this summer. I think you guys are going to have a lot of fun.
It's already begun. Ed, thanks so much. Great talking with you.
This has been a Baseball PhD production. Copyright 2010.